Yes, indeed, folks. We are back once again. Welcome to another Holbert House show here on this beautiful Tuesday. Tuesday? Yeah, sounds right. Tuesday, yes. It's definitely Tuesday. The one between Raw and Dynamite, as we know it in the wrestling conversational content world. So I hope everyone is well. I'm going to hang out here for the next probably hour and a half, maybe. I know NXT is on. I don't know how much our audience cares, but NXT is on. In an hour and a half, so I'm probably going to hang out until then. If we're really on fire, we'll bleed over into the NXT, home of Gallows and Anderson, who I would not like to go head-to-head with. But nonetheless, hope everyone is well. It's a big week in professional wrestling. Of course, that could be referencing Big Business, or more likely it's referencing LNG 100, which is this Friday night, 11:05 Eastern, immediately following the Rampage, baby. So very, very exciting times, but I'm here nonetheless to, you know, the usual talk graps, hang out, see how everyone is, check in. It's only been a week or so, so I don't owe you like a comeback episode where I go like 4 hours or whatever. Yeah, that'll be pretty coming up next month or so. But for now, just your usual Holbert House show. All right. Let's get some questions in the chat. Let me catch up on what I've missed thus far. What are the movies you're looking forward to? I don't know. I actually saw one of those memes, or like graphics, I guess would be the word, for like 2024 releases, and I was kind of like, well, you know, they can't all be winners. There's nothing that jumps out off the top of my head. I'd have to relook at it. But 2023 was a great year for movies, so. Hopefully 2024 can follow suit. There may be great films I'm just not aware of coming into existence here that will be coming this year. I'm not sure. But I haven't seen anything that's jumped off the page to me yet. Maybe I'm forgetting something. All right, we've got some Mania booking here. Domin Andrade, it seems like that's on the horizon. I would agree based on what I've seen. Gable and Ricochet. I've seen a lot of chatter that maybe there's Sammy and Gunther is not the match. I don't know, you guys can help me with this because I find it hard to figure out what's reporting and what's just like people talking now. But ironic me saying that, right? But yeah, I've seen some talk it isn't the match, which we'll get to momentarily here because I do want to talk a little bit about the Gauntlet match and Gunther and Sammy and what that means for WrestleMania. Because I think there's a real chance Gunther's not losing the belt at WrestleMania now, which is my kind of. I guess that's my gut feeling, but that take feels less relevant if, in fact, they're going to change the match again, which, frankly, would be a choice because it feels like a lot of the Mania matches have kind of been up in the air as of late. We shall see. I can feel it. Shout out to the producer, our thumbnail today, by the way. I'm going to try and put, when we have these quirky thumbnails, I'm going to try and put their Twitter at in the bio, so... It will be there for this show. I think I've already done it. But if not, I'll do it afterwards. Big Man is back. Something like that. Yes. Pepe Masterclass in 2024. That sounds hilarious. I don't know what game that's referencing or where, but it sounds funny. Big Business. Here we go. Chuck's in the house. Chuck, I hope you're well. Busy week last week. Still made the town on Thursday, though. I noticed. Rest of the year. Candidacy. Evening American Dragon. Joe is bringing the mana today. Never in my life has that been the case, but I respect it nonetheless. Joseph, what are your thoughts on the cancellation of Kevin Kelly? Well, you know, I don't get into politics around here at the Holbert House shows, you know, folks. Yeah. All I'll say is I knew the fix was in when he came in second or third in the best announcer. I'm blaming Dave personally. Certainly isn't Kevin's fault. That much is clear, right? It has to be someone else's fault. Okay. I hope Bron and Corbin are in the ladder match at Mania. I do too. That'd be sweet. I don't know why there's six teams in it, but if they're going to do six, then there should be some good teams, hopefully. So, yeah. Six teams. Guys, I'm sorry. I really try to avoid being the, like, cranky old fucker who watches old wrestling because it really isn't my nature, and I'm not actually that old, believe it or not. I know it looks, but... Six-team ladder matches revolving. I'm sorry. Come on. Is there no justice in this game? Good God. Hello, JJ. I hope you're well, mate. little mana talk in the chat. Who should be the next All Japan Pro Wrestling Triple Crown champion, and why is it Chad Gable? I don't think we're ever going to get, or not, I shouldn't say ever, good God, but I don't think it's going to be something we get soon, the Chad Gable non-WWE stint. But, I mean, again, anything can happen, but I don't think it's going to come for a while. It would be beast, though, to see him work different places. Next All Japan champ, I would be completely fraudulent if I was like pretending I had a good opinion on this for a sound opinion. I do try and watch the title matches. I haven't for the last one I watched was I watched the Nakajima defense maybe last month or the month before. So I don't know if he's had any since then. If he has, I'm out of the loop. But I'm trying to think what the match was now. All right, let me actually find this out because this will frustrate me otherwise. 1 second, folks. Let me pull up the cage match, which is an official sponsor of the Holbert House. It isn't really. I don't think they sponsor wrestling podcasts. They should, though. Honestly, the amount they get talked about on them. It was the Omori match, I'm pretty sure. Was it the Omori match? No, that doesn't seem right. Well, now I'm even more confused than I was a minute ago because that wasn't for the Triple Crown belt, I'm pretty sure. All right. I've got this deep in. I'm figuring this out now. It was Shotaro Ishino. I apologize if I mispronounced the name. I did not see the Saito match, which I'd imagine was fascinating, actually. I'd like to see what Reagan that got. That sounds hilarious. Oh, six something. Okay. Sounds real. Anyway, shout out to All Japan, I guess. There's a Reddit account that said Gunther is losing at Mania, but nothing about whether it becomes a triple threat. Huh. That's interesting. To me, the only reason I would go this way is because... So, okay, I'll map this out a little bit now. I'll catch up in the chat in a moment, folks. I promise I will go for it one by one. But to me, the only reason you would go this direction is because you want Drew to win the world's belt without it being kind of diluted, and then you want Sammy to chase as a separate story. Meanwhile, for the IC strap... To me, this would suggest Gunther is going to hold on to it and maybe they circle back to Chad Gable. If they're not circling back to Chad Gable, then I think he must be turning heel, would be my guess, which would feel like a mistake, to be honest. I think that really kind of dilutes what he does well. But yeah, that would be my kind of gut feeling based on the very little I follow it. And I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, I think there's definitely room to doubt that Triple H would end both the Gunther reign and the Roman reign in the same weekend. Generally, with the way that he books professional wrestling, that would be surprising, I think. And that's not something I really had considered until I was kind of pondering this last night. A lot of people mentioned that Gunther was originally, supposedly, you know, intended to wrestle Brock, which we believe was a match he was supposed to win. I say believe because I think there would have been some shenanigans there, but that's the belief. So he would have been keeping the belt, right? Now, do I think there is an argument that Gunther dropping the IC title could be like the match on the Backlash in Paris? I do, actually. I think there's something to be said for that. Especially in the case of Gable. They've had three matches, all I think around the same length, or similar length, I should say. And you would believe that at WrestleMania that would be the same, right? I don't think WrestleMania would be the place for them to have this expansive epic. Backlash might be. So that actually would make some sense to me. Now, let me be clear, I don't watch the TV in a way where I would be invested. So if you're upset that Gable didn't win, I get it. It's not, you know, not my place to tell you wrong because you're invested. That's beautiful. But that's the way my brain computed what happened last night. As for the match itself, we'll kind of just park it there and just talk about this for a second because it's relevant. I thought Ricochet looked awesome. McDonough is a good, he bumps big, but I just am not, I've never really been a fan and I'm not, I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I'm just not particularly impressed by Devlin, McDonald, whatever. Ricochet, I thought, was strong in that match. But really, it was the Sami Zayn show, as intended, right? That was the point. And Sami Zayn is... I think he's pretty much died off now. But honestly, like, the idea that at one point people were questioning if he could still go and still have great matches, it seems insane in hindsight, right? He had definitely had a downswing. And at one point, he was almost wrestling like a manager in 2020. But I'm looking at him now and like he seems to be, it's a different, again, it's like we talk about with Joe a lot. I don't want to say the form of his life because that would be hyperbolic considering how great Sami Zayn has been. But he's found this new kind of way of approaching things, and he's adjusted to where he's at physically. And I just think he's superb right now. And he's one of the best TV wrestlers in the world. Brilliant at taking these very, very simple matches and like just giving them these little touches and little details that give them a whole lot of personality and color. So Sami Zayn was just extraordinary in the Gauntlet match, and him and Gable at the closing stretch was just, it didn't get much better than that, folks. I mean, that was just beautiful babyface wrestling, just action and moves and athleticism without it feeling like it was being overly showy. It felt like both guys wanted to win. There was an exhaustion there. There was a grit there. But it was still so fluid and beautiful to watch. It was, if you haven't seen it, the Gauntlet match is worth watching in general, but especially the Gable Zayn portion is just wonderful, wonderful wrestling. Pop, that rules. Who in AEW has mana? It's really hard, isn't it? I think Sting had it. But, which is a funny sentence. I don't know. I don't know how many people in the world have it, to be honest with you. It feels more and more, the more that I study mana, it feels like a Dwayne exclusive in a lot of ways in professional wrestling. Because I would have said before that, like, you know, Big Rome had it, but then I look at Big Rome next to Dwayne, and I'm like, I don't know. It's different kind of mana, bro. It is. It's very, very different. Who's your main event? Big Business. I think there's something to be said for making a statement and having Riho and Willow close. There's a slight hesitation there for me in that I think the world of both of them as wrestlers, I think that's an interesting matchup stylistically. Physically, it works. Willow as kind of a powerhouse opposite Riho is natural, but it doesn't quite fit to me from a character point of view. You know, they're two of your strongest baby faces. So I have a little bit of hesitation with it, but I think I would still go in that direction. Otherwise, I think I'll do the Okada six-man. I think the Okada six-man or the Riho match. I think Joe and Wardlow would be a good choice to be the first match, honestly. I don't think it'll be opener because I think the opener will be Manai. But first match, 7-8 minutes, bombs. I assume they have some hilarious finish up their sleeve. I don't think Wardlow's going to be losing clean. So I would do that first. Jay and Darby is like the kind of is the match that I think you can place anywhere and it will kill. You know, it's like when Takeshita wrestled Darby and they went on like an hour and a half or something. I think they had like a weird slot for that because it's like Darby's going to get the match over and he's wrestling someone who's really good, you know? So it's kind of a loose format. And I think Mercedes will open. And if the women close in terms of the match, then I think she may come back involved for that. So that'll be very interesting. Very intrigued to see like the way this Mercedes presentation comes out. Very, very intrigued. I think this is a big one. And the first, you know, the introduction isn't everything, but it is important, we have to say. So I'm intrigued as to how it comes off. What else we got here? How much do you hate the concept of the 12-person? Well, there you go. I got to that before I even saw your question. But yeah, it was, that to me is outrageous. I'm sorry. If you're excited, God bless. I'm happy for you, but I can't do it. Montel was making towns earlier. Sorry to hear that. Chuck says she's doing grand, taking this week to do a whole lot of nothing and just work on an art project. Ironically, wrestling related, of course. The sickness we can't escape. I was telling the folks last week that sometimes when I'm trying to like get away from professional wrestling and put my wrestling stuff down, the work stuff that I do in wrestling, I'll like put professional wrestling matches on. And I was fully aware as the words came out of my mouth of how truly sick what I was saying was, but it's just, these are the games we play, but I'm glad you're well nonetheless, Chuck. The 16 ladder match is what the rival territory runs against JHP. Factual. Absolutely true. Hey, Joe, I'm very excited for Seth and Cody versus the Mana Powers. Hope you are too. I am, mate. I'm really, really excited for it. Really, really excited. I think there's a real novelty to how Dwayne is going to do at this point in his life and like physically what he's capable of. And I think that novelty is a lot more positive in a tag match, you know, where you can really build a smart match. And I think they will have a smart match up their sleeve. I think a singles match would be less novelty and more kind of like a perverse intrigue. You know, like I think this has a real, I think this has a lot of juice. I'm actually very excited for it, which is, you know, I think there's a fair point to be made about the way it's kind of taken away from perhaps Cody and Roman. There's still some time to make that right. But inevitably, when Dwayne's around, he's going to be central. But I can't pretend I'm not excited to see what Rock does. I definitely think it's an exciting thing. So I think it's been cool having him back thus far. Obviously, I mean, we had a lot of fun with the bits and stuff, but I do think it's been cool. So very, very excited. Joe, will you and Nigel be flying the Union Jack high and proud during the Ospreay Dragon match? Absolutely not. I hope Dragon wins. He'll not, of course. But Nigel can do that on his own. I'm not supporting such filth. Absolute filth. What does the main event of the counter-programming show? The main event. I don't know. In my old age, I feel I've got more friendly. There's less wrestlers that I actively resist. It's probably like a Shane McMahon match, right? Shane is one where I'd get quite venomous about. It'd probably be a rematch of Shane and Kurt Angle, where I could go through loads of glass again, and Alex would live tweet it. Shout out to Contrarian Alex. One of his all-time favorite matches. It is a great match, but some hills you have to die on among friends, you know? There it is, folks. JJ Williams, he says he'll be reporting live from Boston for the Late Night Grin. No other platform. No, there's no other platforms. JJ's linked to us, the Late Night Grin. Correct. I'm glad we agree on that. Collier's Way, yes, indeed. You can get me on the letterbox, folks. You'll see that I just watched Collier's Way. Very, very good. Great drama. Great drama. I don't want to spoil it, but it does that great thing where it puts things in the back of your brain, you forget about it, and then you go, oh, shit. Very good. Nakajima is facing Anzai this month. Intriguing. Semi winning was odd, but if I'm honest, I'm more annoyed that we're not getting LA versus Logan. I feel it would have been insanely heated and a reward night for the year he's had. Maybe Logan wanted a bigger name. Yeah, I don't even think it's a Logan. I could be wrong on this. I'm not reporting clearly, but I don't even think it's a Logan choice so much as it is. I think that was where they were going, but I think the balance of the roster, they decided this was the right spot for KO and Randy. A couple months ago on the Late Night Grim, we did like a WrestleMania kind of preview where we tried to put a card together. And those two names, as well as AJ, we kind of were struggling to figure out the right spot for. Now, if you play along with me here, if you imagine, so AJ's the heel. We've got Kevin, Randy, and LA as babyfaces, right? Randy and AJ, we've done at WrestleMania. And frankly, it is a match I would probably avoid at this current point in time. Kevin Owens and AJ, I don't have to explain that. They've told us enough times that that was not a thing that worked. Not for any personal vendetta. They just did not gel. And I think that would be, if that was the case with 2017 AJ, I'd imagine that would be more spotlight now. So I think, unfortunately, LA Knight has kind of been a victim of winning those little mini sweepstakes of who makes sense for AJ Styles. Then Kevin and Randy make sense in a triple threat spot with Logan. So I think it's kind of been a domino effect kind of situation. But I agree with you in terms of it's not – I think the world of AJ Styles, and obviously I'm a fan of LA Knight, I don't think it's a particularly compelling WrestleMania match. So it's definitely a bummer for Knight. But I have to be honest, Alfie, I am into the triple threat. I think that's a good use of Randy. So we'll see. And maybe that's something we can circle back to after WrestleMania and see how it all came together, see what delivered and what didn't. Maybe they'll give LA and AJ like a stip or a gimmick to kind of help them out some. Okay, I thought the story they were telling, Seth loses his belt to a heel. Yeah, it's, I think it feels more and more like that Drew's going to kind of kill Seth on that second night, right? It feels like. Yeah, there's been a lot of movement on the WrestleMania card, I think it goes without saying. I've seen suggestions that Punk should dethrone Drew when he comes back. Sounds like a mistake to me, but I'm not really invested. More than the result, what do you think that match would look like? I agree with you, it would be a mistake. I think CM Punk is an all-time great pro wrestler. I think you'd be very brave at this point to decide that he should be a world champion, which is fine. He's 45 years old or whatever. What does the match look like? I don't see them as natural foes, to be honest with you. I think stylistically, that's a little bit of a clunky one. And I think it's a bit of a challenging one for Punk in that is a guy who's really physical and will hulk. He's this hulking physique of Drew McIntyre. I think it's kind of difficult. It's one where Punk will really have to be smart about the way he presents himself. You know, I think he'll have to be kind of a tough, gutsy, but also somewhat cunning babyface. You know, I see him kind of working Drew's leg maybe, or finding an opening and wrestling in a way that's tactical but doesn't undercut him as the babyface, I guess would be the way to explain it. I don't know if they'll have a great match. I think their best chance would be kind of a wild brawl, honestly. I think Punk's underrated at those. You know, kind of what we saw flashes with in the second Moxley match, you know, the kind of vengeful, heated brawl, I think maybe the best way. I think in a straight-up wrestling match, I think there's a pretty clear ceiling on that. Not because, not as a reflection of either of them so much, as just I don't think it's a natural pair, you know? But we'll see. CM Punk is much smarter about professional wrestling than I am, clearly. Respect Dean Malenko. Okay, so this was the whole thing. I woke up to a whole lot of drama about Dean Malenko in my DMs from one person who will not be named here because he's on the unassociated late night grin. Dean Malenko is regularly compared to Roderick Strong. Most of the, apparently there's 200 of you watching this. Most of you will say, yes, that makes sense. Brainbuster is one of them. And he said this in a very polite, friendly conversation with the aforementioned late night grin member. Now, the problem with this is I am the one person in the world who takes issue with the Dean Malenko Roderick Strong comparison. The one, only one, but I do it with passion. I do it with commitment. I don't want to disparage the great name of Dean the Iceman Malenko, but you know, there's dancers and there's fighters. What one are you going to be, folks? You know, here's where he is. Roderick Strong, he never kicks out of his own pins. That's all I'm saying. The Oracle of Wrestling knows what I'm talking about. Shout out Dean Malenko, but he ain't Roderick Strong. All right. Yes, this was pointed out, I think last night someone pointed this out to me, that Sammy's been talking about just winning a belt rather than the world title. So we'll see kind of how that reflects on the Mania booking. The clash of mana between Sammy and Gable. Real graps. Feels like they took Drew versus Sammy, blew it up and added both to the matches that lost their opponents. Yeah, I mean, Punk, that was, we were just talking about Punk a moment ago. That definitely affected things. Absolutely did. I am studying mana, yes. Samoa Joe, I think, does actually have it. Because do you remember Rock had that hilarious post where he said that, like, Joe reminded him of guys from the old days. It's a very funny Dwayne Instagram post. I think unless I'm imagining this, which would be unfortunate, but yeah. Yeah, Seth Rollins, I agree with this. I also don't, like, I'm not a big Seth Rollins fan, but like if you go to my like timeline or whatever, I'm not gonna just like sit there and tell you he sucks all day. Like, I'm not a huge fan, but you know, like, he's cool and he's had good matches. He just has bad, as you said, he has bad habits sometimes. He's not, and I also think as a promo, he's actually quite frustrating. I actually think he can be quite a good promo. He just sometimes does shtick that I'm not a fan of, but I don't know. I'm trying, like, I think it's absolutely fair to be like, I'm not a fan of this guy's, you know, I'm not a fan of his work or whatever. And if you've ever read some of my reviews of Seth's matches, he does drive me slightly insane at times, but just a dude, man. I mean, there's much bigger issues in professional wrestling than me not loving Seth Rollins matches. So, I was about to say shout out Seth Rollins, but that felt like an overcorrection. I'll just say fair play, Seth freaking Rollins. Yes, this is true. Putting Joe vs. Wardlow as your world title match on a show where you know you have new eyes is hilarious to me. Sorry, I misread that. Yeah, it's a choice. I'm fascinated by it. I'm almost assuming there's a finish up their sleeve that's like worth it. But I don't really know what that would be. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, as a big Samoa Joe fan, I think that's like the worst stylistic matchup for him at this point. Like, he needs the guys that can create movement around him, right? And he can plug in his offense and kind of timing versus speed is the best Samoa Joe stuff. Him working up a big man has been, I think, at this point, pretty much proven to be an error. The Shane Taylor match, I still maintain, and I was there live, so I'm biased, but I maintain was like actually fun, but it was also 6 minutes long. I do maintain it was fun, though. Shane did like a big splash off the top. It was a hoot. Respect. My camera roll is the same as a lot of Dwayne right now. It is what it is. What opponent in AEW can put on the best matches with Mercedes besides Jamie? I think Athena or Chris Statlander. I think Athena and Mercedes is like crazy matchup. I'd love to see it. Now you get Athena obviously on AEW TV, of course, but still, I would love to see it. Joe, promotion of the year between TNA 2024 and New Japan 2024. I will say, I saw Steve Macklin and Nick Nemeth from, I think it was Sacrifice they did on Friday. I thought they had a really good match. Really good match. I actually recommend it. Like, it's like 14 minutes. They push a really good pace. It was, I really, really liked it. They go a little far and they do like finisher steals, which, please God, it's the opening match. But the actual work is really, and I'll say this, like, whether you like the results or not, it is very apparent that Nick Nemeth is working really, really hard. I mean, he put a shift in both this and the family match. He clearly is trying to make this thing work. He's had some really, I mean, landing in both of those promotions in the same time is peak Nick Nemeth behavior, but we wish him the best nonetheless. I agree. I think Dwayne's going to try some crazy shit too. Best Ed Norton film. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if I'm well versed enough, unfortunately. I haven't seen Kingdom of Heaven, which was your pick. Respect. I haven't seen it. Is Sammy a top five babyface worker in wrestling? Who else would round out that list? Yes, is the answer, I think. I'm pretty sure. I think he's been one for a very long time too. Because that was always even people that really disparaged the El Generico shtick would always agree he was a great babyface worker. So I think Ray Jr. still has to be in there. I think Darby Allin is. He's a different type of babyface in that you do kind of get like a sick thrill from watching him get the shit kicked out, which is different. But I would still put him in there just for how he sells and bumps. I think Riho is a good candidate. I'm not looking at the chat right now, so there's probably great answers that I'm forgetting. That's four. I think Gable's up there. Chad Gable is a great babyface. Kind of a classical babyface too. Like, he really gets people on board with just like these feats of physicality and athleticism. So he's definitely up there. I'm trying to think of an AEW, if there's anyone else that's like... I mean, Danielson is still like... If you just talk in a vacuum, who's the best babyface worker? Danielson's still absolutely in that conversation. He just opts to not be one a lot of the time, sadly. I know he loves being a heel, but God, he's such a great babyface. Look at that Shane Taylor match, right? Yeah, there's a handful for you. I'm trying to think of the WWE Women's Division. Who would be the pick? I don't know if there is one that jumps off the page to me, but there's a couple of the top babyfaces. I did see the Tangaloa 619, yeah. God bless Tangaloa. I'm not quite sure what's happening there. It feels like a bit of like he's doing a bit, but I'm pretty sure he's not. So I will not comment further on the Dean Malenko slander. I'll just say that we wish Dean the best. I'm pretty uninspired by Mercedes AEW rollout. Think doing a Punk style debut feels like a wrong call. What do you think instead of doing a challenge and she comes out for a match? I have always preferred her doing a match. I think with Punk, there was an absolute hook to, like, what is this dude going to say? It's been so long, and that was his brand before, was that he would say or do, you know, anything was possible with CM Punk. I don't think that's the way people perceive Mercedes. So I would have done a match personally, but it's one of those things where I'm willing to, like, just see what they have. They've had a long time plan this thing. I mean, they were moving towards this, like, 2 months ago. So you got to believe they have something up their sleeve in this segment, right? Like, on paper, I don't love it. It feels like there must be something they want to achieve with this as a promo. So we shall see. Some more LA and AJ talk. Okay, what else we got here, folks? Punk is going to watch so much Brett Diesel for his match with Drew. Dude, Brett Diesel is such a great pairing. Like, incredible, incredible pairing. I saw recently, because I got the Dungeon Collection Bret Hart DVD set. and the match from King of the Ring 93, which I forgot. I always remember the 94 match. Sorry, the 94 match and the 95 match, I should say. That match is also killer, dude. They have such good matches together. It's got to be Kev's best opponent. It has to be. So, yeah, that would be good stuff to watch. Feels like the World Heavyweight Championship is going to move quite a bit in the summer from Drew to Sammy at Money in the Bank in Canada and then on to Gunther at Bash, probably. I think that's very, very fair assumption, actually. Yeah, I agree. There's some Roddy Dean debating going on. Punk should come back to cost Drew the title. I prefer that. And that's better than Punk chasing the belt. Yes, I would agree. Joe, what's your biggest fear in regards to Mercedes AEW booking? My biggest fear is that she's slotted into the same playbook that 99% of the women have, which is like match graphic, post-match run-ins, and small pre-tapes to set up matches for Rampage and or Collision. She has to break completely from the mold of how they do things with the women. Like, she just has to. And Tony has slightly, to be fair, which is encouraging. But in 2 months, it can't feel like she's just leading a pack that's placed the same way it was previously. It has to feel like the pack is like making serious ground, trying to follow where she's at on the card. So it needs to be transformative, dude. It can't just be like things are better, but they're the same. You know, they're the same in terms of concept. The quality is just better. That's fine, but there's more. There's so much more to do there. She's a big, big star. So that's my main concern, is like just letting her, having her fall to the level of where things currently are rather than them coming up to her level. Because she can only do so much in the ring. You know, she's going to try and elevate women when she's in the ring with them, but creative has to help her in that front. You know, CM Punk tried to give Lee Moriarty a lot. It was not the right call at that time because creative had nothing for Lee Moriarty. You know, and that's not a reflection of Lee. It's just, it is what it is. So there's an example for you. What's the Roddy Malenko star ring? They probably have a really good match, dude. Dean's good. Like, some of Dean's stuff is it's too loose for me, I guess would be the word I'd use. He's a very good wrestler, obviously. I'm not trying to disparage Dean Malenko's legacy in the sport of professional wrestling here on the Holbert House show. But I think of him and Roddy as very different workers. They may gel well, though, for that reason. I appreciate this. That's definitely the goal. Thoughts on the Maxine Candice angle? I have no issue with it from a morality point of view because wrestling's wrestling and whatever, but the execution, poor Maxine was acting with a capital A. I mean, it's tight. It's wrestling in it, but it was a lot. It just felt like a lot. I mean, at least they're giving Candice something to do, I guess. I don't know. I knew they were going to turn the Maxine thing into an angle, and I just... the big issue is, like, how you do that, right? Like, how do you explain that she's, like, bad? Before, it was she was a rookie who was training, and now, like, Candice is saying, we're not going to take the move, and whatever else she said, so... yeah. Do we have any fear in that Maxwell Jacob Friedman could be back tomorrow? I don't think so, but that's definitely a fair question, considering that the Joe match is, like... that would be a finish, right? That would make sense. Serena Deeb, I don't know if this was... I assume it's about Mercedes. That was my pitch for the first match. I would have done Deeb-Mercedes open challenge situation. I've been trying to think of the worst possible match in WWE today. I've come to the conclusion it's Carlito versus Cross. Oh, my God. I think there must be a worse match because while that match wouldn't be good, it feels like it would be the most, like... nondescript two-star match ever. There has to be some actual filth on this. I'm looking at the roster now. Dexter Loomis is pretty bad, to be fair. I think Dex Loom might have to slide in here. I think he's bad. I didn't know last time I seen him wrestle. Was he still around? Maybe he's hurt. I'm looking at this roster here. Most of these guys are part... I mean, poor Maxine... you know, she's probably actually in this match if we're being sincere and honest. But for the sake of conversation, I'll say this. Looking at the roster, I think your pick is a fair one. Again, without doing something lazy and just being like B-Fab versus Maxine Dupri, which, of course, That would be the most boring match. I think I would probably get some Loomis in there, and like Loomis and Cross doing like a law spooky match would be probably my actual pick, but something like that. Yeah. What do you think is next for Takeshita? I was thinking the Triple Crown would be ideal, but now that's fallen into the hands of Okada. So I have no clue what they could do with him right now. Great question. Well, you assume that this thing with Ospreay being like fighting his Don Callis cohorts is going somewhere, right? You assume, which would position him as like a direct foe. But I'm trying to think if there's a babyface that we could actually go, we could have him work a program with in the meantime. I'm trying to think of the roster right now. I'm doing a lot of research live on the air here, folks. I don't have depth charts right now, sadly. And if I did, that would be late night green exclusives, of course. But I'm trying to think, like, who would be baby faces that would naturally be. I mean, I could see him being the guy that wins the TNT from Cope, which is where I think the belts go. And that would be like a one that comes to mind. Beyond that, I think him and DG could have a good feud, a good program. They had a really strong match in PWG a couple of years ago. Not quite a natural in terms of placement, but I think that you know, they could have some tremendous matches. And also, there's a little history there with Don and DG, so maybe something to be said for that. But I think my response for now would be TNT title. Let Copeland have like 2 months where he's fighting champion and have him drop it at Double or Nothing to Takeshita, I think would be my pick. Because then Takeshita would be in a similar spot to where Roddy is with the belt, the international belt, which is, it feels like Takeshita could have so many fresh opponents, right? It feels like, so that'd be cool. So what do you do with Rey and Santos at this point? Personally, a big 6-8 person tag, or just have the rest of the factions doing chaos, on the outside of the singles? I would like them to have a singles match, but I also get for this balance of the card, it may be better they do like a sort of faction war situation, which I still think Andrade and Dom might get involved in. I still think that may become like a 10-person tag. I've said it a million times. I think Mask versus Hair would be like beast, but it doesn't seem like the feud is currently in that kind of stratosphere right now. But yeah, I think Santos is good but inconsistent. So whatever they do, it'll be intriguing as to kind of what that tells us about his placement, you know, coming out of WrestleMania. Because I changed my mind on him quite a lot, if I'm being honest. Do you like the Joe Brock match from 2017? I don't know if I've ever heard you talk about it. I like it. I find it very hard to divorce that match from like what that match would have been, you know, a decade and change prior. I always thought that was difficult because to me, that match had the appeal of that match is the physical firepower. And I think it's kind of, you know, it's good, not great would be my take. There are some folks who love that match. There's a great Hamwork Reviews review about that match where it's like talks about how kind of gritty and rough around the edges it is. I've always struggled to look at it as its own thing rather than just thinking like, man, it feels like this is kind of the worst version of this in some ways. The build is great. The build is... And that was kind of the story of Joe's WWE run. He was better as a personality in a promo than he was in the ring. He had good matches. I don't think he had many great ones. And I think that kind of fits into that mold. So good, not great. I think there was many different versions of those guys that could have had a better match. But one we got was still good and a worthwhile piece of history, no doubt. Who's Nemeth working for Bindor for the global title? Basically, who is TK going to let Nemeth go over? Well, luckily I still have the roster up here. Darby probably won't be back, right? Actually, no, Darby, when he's Forbidden Door? Darby Allin feels like a guy that could lose to Nick Nemeth and it would all be okay, right? That match might rule, actually. Otherwise, this is a hilarious political thing to try and tackle. Yeah, otherwise, because Darby's a guy, like, you know, they have him lose a lot in those kind of scenarios. Unless they wheel out Dustin Rhodes, which also would be very funny. Forbidden Door featuring Dustin Rhodes. God, there are some really flat 3 1/4 on this thing, like Lethal versus Nick Nemeth. Sounds like an alternate timeline, Ring of Honor 2018 pipe. Try to see if there's any funny ones that jump out that could be feasible. Roosh would be a very funny match, wouldn't it? Roosh may, he may want to get rolled up and then stand up afterwards and kick the shit out of him. There's a couple names. Hey, Joe, all the fans need to know how you're getting ready for the big LNG 100 this Friday. How's the training camp been? Honestly, dude, you joke, but like, it actually has been embarrassingly stressful. Like, I've been trying to piece together different things about it. And I've ultimately just settled. I'm like, it'll be cool. We'll have fun. Everything will be okay. So I want to quickly talk about this. So LNG 100 is this Friday. It is immediately following Rampage. It's like 11:05 Eastern, so it's a late show, but it is called the Late Night Grin. So probably back on brand in that regard. It's been a while. But yeah, we're in our old time slot, and we've got some video messages from friends of the show, some prior guests, and also some grinners. A couple of grinners sent in video messages too. We've got like compilations. We asked everyone on Twitter to tell us what their favorite LNG moments were, and we've pieced those together for these the most egotistical compilations imaginable. Like, just at points in the show, I'm going to just pitch to videos of us being funny, because of course. At the bottom of the screen, we're going to have messages from different grinners that sent in, like, you know, because I understood not everyone wants to do videos, God forbid, for a wrestling podcast. So bottom of the screen, we'll have like a banner of messages people sent in, some of which are very, very nice, some of which are quite funny. But the big thing that has been stressing me out is that at the top of the first hour, we have a major announcement. And that major announcement will be made by a special guest. I've not told anyone who this character is that will be appearing via satellite. So therefore, for a month now, I have not been able to spoil this. No one on the show knows who it is. So I have been sweating bullets because I'm the worst person at keeping these things secret. I say things on shows and wonder if I was supposed to say them out loud. So it's been quite a nightmare for what is ultimately like a 1 minute clip to say something about the Late Night Grin. But we almost made it. We're 3 days away. LNG 100 this Friday. I appreciate you asking, Brucey. I'm very excited. If anyone wants to have their message on the show, whether it be a written message got at the bottom of the screen or whether it's a video message, you can still get them to me. Just DM them at Joe Holbert. And I will try my best to feed them on the show because the community is a big part of the show, right? So that will be this Friday, folks, if anyone's interested. All right. Over on the Late Night Grin channel, of course. Got some babyface answers. We've got Cody, Hangman, Bianca, Mox. It's an interesting question, yes. That'd be a good, like, separate show, actually. I was researching Camacho matches. Very funny sentence. Listen to this lineup. July 2012, Jim Duggan, Sergeant Slaughter, and Santino Marella versus Hunico, Drew McIntyre, and Camacho. Drew's been for a ride, dude. Good Lord. Who would you book Tangaloa against for a 7-minute Saturday Night Collision match? Now we're talking, right? You got to look at the Butcher straight away because there's something to that, right? More funny, international title, Roderick Strong versus Tangaloa. You imagine how frustrated Roddy would get, the chops he would throw. That sounds like something that could kill a court row. Let's fucking go. Let's do that. Let's do Rod Strong with the international belt. Frame Tangaloa as like a big New Japan stalwart, you know? I wouldn't be shocked if Priest wins it for a couple weeks in there. Yeah, good call about the world belt for sure. 1 second, folks. Let me just... I'm fighting that for the last 20 minutes. You know, I could have just done that the whole time. What did you think of the Infantry's promo on FTR? And is that an upset watch in the tournament? I've seen some talk with that. That feels like a I don't know. That feels like a step far. But to answer your question, I thought the Infantry did a hell of a job with their promo. Hell of a job. Great personality, great energy. They got over with the people. Really well done. I thought the segment was really well produced, actually. I thought they came across well, and Dax had that little comeback line. I thought it was very, very well done. An upset feels dramatic, but it could spark something interesting with FTR. So we'll see how it comes off. The only reason I'm hesitant on the upset is I've watched the Infantry before, and they're not bad, but they're also not, you know, if it was like, there's surely someone else you could give that to. I don't know who, but they're not a team that I would be pushing to that. They're a team that can give you some depth in the mid card. But they did a really good job in the promo. So credit to them. That's a hard thing to do. If political circumstances, that was in quotes, dictated the creation of WWE Collision, who are your colliders? Oh my God. We are in. Now we're talking. You're really bringing the big questions today, folks. I mean, this is great stuff. I hope you're enjoying the show. Folks, please do give this a thumbs up if you are. Maybe subscribe even while you're at it. All right, immediately, obviously Andrade, because of course, right? Like, he is literally a collider. I'm looking at, I think Gable does too many moves for us, to be honest. Balor's got collider all over him. He'd be in the switchblade slot, which I guess makes Priest his Juice Robinson, which does feel unfortunate. No, Dom can be Juice. Dom's on there, definitely. Dom was Punk's first opponent, but he's a collider. Obviously, Punk is implied. The Creed brothers, they're a project on the Collision. Gunther might actually be too good. I'll have to report back on that. Jey Uso, for better or worse, is colliding. Ricochet does too many moves. Shinsuke reboot that was somewhat embarrassing would be very Collision, I feel. Women's division. I'm just about. I guess Candice LeRae would be a collider. Nia Jax, definitely. This seems to be our women's division thus far. Adam Pearce, of course, he's the Collision commissioner. AJ Styles probably wouldn't be invited. Bob Lasher. Cameron Grimes. God, he'd be going 2 hours again in his matches just to kill some time on the damn show. The Machine Gun, Kyle Anderson, and the Big LG, Doc Gallows. And Randy Orton can be a special guest on occasion, the way that MJF was for Collision. Sheamus, too. Sheamus. Fill out a women's division. We'll close with... The women's wrestlers are too cool to be clear. They're all... I can only muster ones that I feel are befitting the truly miserable branding that we built with Collision. For the family of colliders that are watching this right now. Yeah, I mean, Kairi Sane seems to be a very funny wrestler now who kind of fucks around during matches, which feels like, you know, the kind of misfit, you know, Island of Misfit Toys vibe we're looking for. So we'll throw on the ballot too. How that worked out for you. My team just lost on pens. Sorry to hear that. What's on Siri and Masha being announced for GCW Mania Weekend? That sounds sick. I didn't even know that was happening. That should be awesome. But I think Masha's like someone who's on the precipice of breaking out, right? Do you think Britt is coming back possibly very soon? Feels like the Deonna segment's heading there. I'm pretty sure that's where we're going with the Deonna thing, yeah. For better or worse, that seems like where we're going. Are there any teams you'd love to see in the tag title tournament? Extreme long shot, but would love to see mostly Machine Guns. That would be awesome. The Astronauts is the immediate response to that. The Astronauts wrestling in the tag team tournament would be sweet. I don't know how big the ballot's going to be. The bracket's going to be, I should say. Keep saying the word ballot, even though it isn't necessary at all. All right. We've got some different matches coming up here. Lexus King and Dexter Lumis. Dexter has been off TV for quite a while. Well, I hope he's well. I don't know what the story there is. Hopefully he's well. Give me Okada versus Takeshita, the Triple Crown, please. That would be quite good, I believe. Hot take. Joe, you're wearing a Tottenham shirt. I am. I am wearing a Tottenham shirt. Charlie's right. We throw Garcia into a lot of professional. This is true. Anytime there's like an uncertainty, well, we could put Garcia in there. Takeshita needs to use the goodwill from the Ospreay match to propel him into a face turn, but now he's a proper mean ass kicker. I think he's a bare baby face, so I'd be with that. But yeah, I don't think that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. Also, Pac vs. Takeshita would be an awesome feud and get Pac away from his eternal beef with the Elite and be a callback to Blood and Guts debacle last year. That would be sick. Yeah, that'd be natural, absolutely. I think Cameron Cross and Bobby Lashley are getting the same big faction match for better or worse. Probably happening and probably for worse. But it could be. I mean, there's a lot of plunder. I could see Street Profits doing some cool shit in there, you know? Joe, how do you see the Ace in 2024 fare against St. Nicholas Nemeth in 2024? I think that match could be quite unfortunate, to be honest. I'm sorry to say, because I think if you put 2012 Dolph Ziggler against 2012 Hiroshi Tanahashi, I think that match would be fucking awesome, actually. Unfortunately, Tanahashi has slowed down a lot. And so is Nemeth. He's more fresh because he hasn't wrestled the same, you know, he hasn't wrestled the, frankly, the gravity of the matches Tanahashi's had of war on him. Nemeth's fresher, but his offense is really, you know, he's not a lot of it. So I just think it could be a very dry match, unfortunately, which is a shame, but we'll see. Hopefully it's awesome. I'd love nothing more than to love that match. I mean, two guys I think a lot of, obviously, different categories and different tiers. Tanahashi's an all-time great, but it would be cool if that match was great, definitely. What do you think about adding Monet? Sorry, he said more. My eyes are bad. Monet to the Elite would be beneficial to everyone involved. There's definitely a world in which that would be very cool, and it would cement the Elite stuff as like the big angle, right? So, yeah, that's definitely interesting. I would run with Mercedes as a babyface for a while because it's just so easy. It's right in front of you, but. But yeah, that would be my that would be definitely something worth kicking around, I think. Yes, indeed. It needs a younger Joe more because Joe can't muscle around Brock. So therefore, you need the Joe that was more dynamic and quick. You know, like most guys now, Joe doesn't need to be that way because he can just whack guys, right? It didn't really. It's a bit more challenging, I think, with Brock. Brock also isn't a big man who's going to, like, stand in front of you and trade bombs. You kind of – he's a very particular style. And with the right archetype, it can work perfectly. 1 second, folks. All right. My bad. Garcia versus Nemeth would be pretty sweet. That sounds like some JHP shit, right? His best stuff in the fed outside of the SummerSlam Monsters Ball was with AJ, I think. SummerSlam 2018 – AJ and Smojo is a really good match. I'm actually writing a review of that. Maybe up after this or maybe tomorrow. Really good match. I like it a lot. Other good WWE matches. I'm trying to think if there's any like hidden gems. There's a really good, the last good one he has is with Claudio. King of the Ring 2019 is actually like really good. Joe at that point is pretty worn down. He doesn't look the same physically in terms of like his offense, but they have a good match because Claudio, of course, so. But yeah, AJ and Joe is like a classic pairing. It's not viewed that way sometimes because TNA is TNA and their history is like a separate part of the world. But it's a really, really great pairing historically. Nick Nemeth versus Mark Briscoe. My God. Think Rock takes a Buckle-Bomb Mania? No, I do not. If he does anything crazy, it will be offensively, I think. And when I say crazy, I don't mean it will be like, you know, a 450, but he may have like a perverse idea. I think it's pretty clear he's got the bug at this point, so anything could happen. What matches do you see happening at Dynasty? Well, we're going to have Joe and Swerve. Obviously, we have Osprey and Brian. I think they may do Okada and Eddie at Supercard. So that one, I think, may actually be another six-man situation I could see. But then again, the Bucks for the belts. Okay, here's what I've got. I'm going to try my best here. Swerve, Joe, Brian, Osprey. I think they're going to do FTR and the Bucks again in the tag tournament. Final. Could be completely wrong. That's just my feeling on it. I think the Bucks are going to win the tag belts in a match with FTR. My friend SP3 mentioned to me that it would be a thing of both two-time champs trying to become a three-time champ. It sounds like something Tony Khan would do with FTR beating the BCC in the semifinal would be my guess. So, yeah. That's a couple there. I think Mercedes and Deeb is actually the match for Dynasty. I think Tony versus Britt is a match for Dynasty, again, for better or worse, as we've said many times tonight. Try to think if there's anything else that jumps off the page to me as like a natural. I assume the Acclaim versus the Bang Bang Gang. I assume. All right, like at this point. Yeah, I don't know. There's a handful. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting anything obvious off the top of the head here, but I hope that helped in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, I would like to apologize and note that when I said Derby won't be back, I was suggesting that he would still be in the midst of his trip. Not that, you know. Third page Larry Bird immediately picking up what I put down because, of course, I said it. My brain went, hold on, those words sound very different to what you intend. So hopefully that was clear. But nonetheless, Greg Garnier is not on. He's not going to be on Late Night Grin 100. He'll be on Grin Grappler Kurt Hennig instead. Joseph, have any Nick Bockwinkel recommendations? A huge blind spot for me, and I really want to see some of his stuff. So the thing with Nick is he's a very unfortunate case where a lot of his stuff isn't on tape, which is a real shame because some of his best matches that we see anyway, that we've seen, are in his 50s. The Hennig matches, he's like 52 years old. So the immediate ones, you got the Kurt Hennig series is terrific. The 60-minute Broadway is the match. I understand if you don't watch 60-minute Broadway, I get it, but that match is incredible. And again, Nick is like 52 years old and famously blew Hennig up in that match. There's some great stuff with Lawler, because Lawler, that would be the belt that would be the one he would be pursuing, the kind of, you know, the world honor that he would be pursuing. The Stevens tag, I'm trying to think, there's a date. Let me try and one second, folks. I apologize for how often I've broke the show here to look to my monitor. Please, you know, once upon a time, yeah, I just do these things. So, but Oracle's the date, Scott. I can't do that shit. There is the Billy Robinson match. Yes, October 6th, 73. That's out there. It's two or three falls, I'm pretty sure. That's the tag, I should say, that I was talking about with Ray Stevens. I don't know how much of that stuff's on tape otherwise. I think there's some stuff with Brunzell and Gagne versus Bockwinkel and Stevens, but I couldn't speak to if it's any good. There's a match in Japan too. May actually not be in Japan. The match with Jumbo. Let me find the date on this for you, and then I'll move on. I promise, folks. I apologize, but it's a good question. I'd like to give it a couple answers, even though I'm not. Okay. It's actually big time wrestling. God, it's another long one, but it's great. Jumbo and Nick Bockwinkel from February 14th, 1979. I seem to remember being great. It may be a different Jumbo match, but that seems to be the great one. Another two out of three falls match. But you know what? Honestly, the other thing with Bock too, man, he's like, watch his promos, dude. His promos are tremendous, and they won't take you an hour to get through. Is Tangelo capable enough to lead Gravity to a free match? No. But then again, you know, that says more about Gravity, I think, than Tangelo. Put Jim Ross on commentary for the Tangelo match and just listen to him grow more and more frustrated. Tangelo versus Jeff Jarrett. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. WWE Collision. Yeah, this is actually it. The Workhorseman would have been perfect for Upset and FTR, but unfortunately, Henry's hurt. We wish Anthony Henry the best. He was, it's a real shame. He obviously talked about kind of how bummed he was. So, yeah, brutal. Okay, I'm looking at some of these collisions here. Brooks Jensen, Zoey Stark versus Nia Jax. What would you call WWE's version of Collision besides Saturday Night's Main Event? Nitro. Thunder. The Pepsi Plunge. One of those. Charlotte Flair. That is actually, yeah, Charlotte Flair would be a collider. That's a good call. Shotzi. Drew Mack is borderline. Liv can be our spooky, but yeah, Liv could be Jules. She could be Julia. My God, we're an hour. Good God. Great crowd tonight, folks. I really do appreciate support on this channel. I know it's a little bit inconsistent. I only get to do it, I mean, once a week, but it's been really cool, the support. So please do keep coming. It's very nice to know people somewhat give a fuck. And as always, you know how much, if you know me, you know how much it hates me to say, but I am supposed to say it, and I have to. Like and subscribe, folks. Like and subscribe. There's no super chats around here as of yet. We're a long way away from super chats, but you can still the like and subscribe. I'm told it's pivotal. So I'm trying to get better at that. Now that I'm hosting on the Wrestle Purists, I'm trying to get better at it. I will say, Bayley, she could collide. Bayley could collide, I think. I think that works. Because she's willing. She's obviously very good, but she's also willing to have matches that are like slow in pace and someone might call boring, which is really important when you talk about being a collider, you know? Xia Li getting a knockout gimmick run on WWE Collision. God, just incredible. Where would you like to see Mark Briscoe head? He's too great to keep getting stuck with Lethal and Team TNA stuff. I need him to do something out of substance. Dude, I agree completely. I think he's... I think he's actually, like, so undervalued right now. We're talking about best working baby faces. He's on that list, you know? Like, I think Mark Briscoe is special. So, yeah, I don't know the necessarily. I'd love to see him do a program of Christian Cage post TNT title, because clearly that belt's going elsewhere, I think, at this point. I think they could have, like, a blood feud that would be spectacular, to be honest. I'm trying to think of... I mean, I think you have to look at the Triple Crown because it has that Ring of Honor belt, right? That's a story that never got finished. He never got those singles honors in Ring of Honor. So, yeah, I don't know if he's beating Okada exactly, but that would be probably my long-term goal is Triple Crown title. Maybe a final battle, you know, something like that. I think that's the natural for Mark. But I just, honestly, to me, it's like, it's more... And this is why I mentioned the Christian thing. It's more to me about singles feuds that have, like, hate involved. You know, that's where he's most valuable. He's a great worker, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of guys that can have matches. Mark can make you care. You know, I think putting him in St. Heat, I think, would be money. And look, to be clear, I think some of the House of Black stuff's been good. I agree with you that it was, you know, like, Lethal and Jarrett kind of gives it a different vibe. But that angle they did with the spike, that was great wrestling. So, yeah, there's a lot more to do with Mark Briscoe for sure. What does a match between the FTR and the Astronauts look like? Probably just whacking each other a lot. I'm not sure it would be a match, you know, kind of... I'm not sure it would be a match shaped necessarily by, you know, like a structure. I think they would just whack each other a lot and it would get, like, very, very physical, and Shivani would say, oh, brother, a lot. And, yeah, I think that would be great TV because I think... Chuck, I see you. I'm not going to put the other one on there. It'll get you in trouble, but I see you nonetheless. But yeah, I think TV main event, that'd be the kind of thing that I think people would immediately leave it with a very clear idea of who the Astronauts are. Say, Joseph, with the benefit of foresight of the incredible circus we now have with Dwayne, if you have the opportunity to turn back time and have Cody win last year, do you make the change? Oh my God. No, I don't. But I wasn't personally attached to Cody winning the way that my friends were. So here's the thing I have to weigh up with that. Dwayne's important, but forget that. More importantly, Alex, I was sad for Alex. Alex really wanted Cody to win, and he was there, and it hurt him. You know, I was sad. On the other hand, Bob's body language and demeanor as I entered the StreamYard after Cody lost is one of the funniest things that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think I can sacrifice that. So even without Rock, I don't think I can change it. I think, you know, take the good with the bad. I think Alex has to suffer just for the sake of poor Bobby's extraordinary discontent. Incredible stuff. All right. Joe versus Roman for the IC title on a Christmas Raw was pretty good, but had a lame finish. Yes, that's a good call, actually. They have a couple good ones. Unfortunately, everyone remembers Backlash, which is probably the worst match of, like, I was going to say either guy's career, but unfortunately Roman had, you know, he had a lot of bad matches that were often out of his fucking hands because they were killed by booking. The crowd just rejected them. But Joe Roman at Backlash was like Joe's worst match, and I think it's got one of Roman's. Again, that's not a reflection of Roman so much as it is he was put in so much bad shit. Awful. I mean, he's a guy that people look at as like, oh, they gave him so much. Yeah, they pushed him a lot, but look at the fucking damage they did to him with some of the creative, dude. Like, the dog food deal, some of the stuff he did with Shane, like, just Triple H in 2016. Like, fuck, man. He had no chance. My head has already switched. Brock refers to Brock Anderson. Respect. Shout out to Brock Anderson. I hope as well. What's the match that was bad, average at the first time? You think we're absolutely cook on a rematch? Not average, but I think Daniel Garcia and Roderick Strong are capable of a lot more. That one comes to mind. I'm trying to think of, because this is where my memory hurts me, unfortunately. The one that I always have said, I've mentioned this before, and it's almost to a parody. I bring up Tibu like once a week. I think it's hilarious and somewhat tragic that it appears that every time Bayley and Alexa Bliss wrestled on a major stage, they had very bad matches. Sometimes out of their hands, otherwise not. And the reason I bring this up is not because it would cook on a rematch, because at this point, I certainly don't think it would, unfortunately. But I bring this up to say, once again, I circle this as a major moment in Holbert House shows, as I bring this up on every show. Please, I implore everyone, this is a reverse of the question. July 2016, or June, one or the other, NXT TV. Go watch Pam and Alexa from this TV. And then report back to me on if I'm wrong. But I believe they had good matches the first couple times of asking in both 2016 and 2017, only to go down as one of the all-time infamous feuds in wrestling history. And I am here to tell you that I believe, after looking at the evidence, that This Is Your Life actually cursed them forever. I'm of this belief. Because they even had a shitty match last year, or where it was, 2 years ago on Raw. It's cursed, I'm telling you guys. So that's not an answer to your question. I just wanted to say that I see it, and I want you guys to see it too. They could run Copeland versus DG at Dynasty. They could actually, Joe. That's a good call. They definitely could do that. You think we're getting Good Bros versus Wolf Dogs? Because yes, please. I do think we're getting that. They'll probably put a third team, though, because, of course, we got nothing. We get nothing anymore. Probably a third team. They'll probably chase you being there, I think. What else have we got here in the chat? There's no way they can hold off Mercedes' first match for 5 weeks on pay-per-view. Seems like a mistake to have the Joshis over Mania week and not have her in there to hold off debut match. Yeah, I think, again, that may be the D match, maybe the debut, or they may do it as a pay-per-view match. But I agree, she should definitely wrestle before 5 weeks. That seems like a complete own goal. Will you be joining the cleaner to review matches? I'll not, but the cleaner, Kenny Omega, was awesome on the Twitch yesterday. Awesome on the Twitch. I loved listening to him talk about grabs. Very, very cool. Incredibly likable fella is old Ken Omega. Yeah, this is the thing. When I was doing box recommendations, like him and Billy Robinson is like a critically acclaimed match, but you may fucking hate that if you just have different taste. Like, it's deeply perverse, as the chat has mentioned. Which footballers will be colliders? I've got Adel Terat, Anderson, and Neil Mopa. Benoit Asuakot, who would be my answer? Hope that works for you. Natalia will be cutting promos about how she's bringing real wrestling back to the WWE Collider Women's Division. Let's fucking go. I love the full show art that questions have on this show. Send question, 25 minutes. Question discussed, suggestions from chat, 25 minutes later. Yeah, there's probably a better way to do it, but this is the way I've been doing it now. I guess these are the games we play. Some Mark Briscoe talk, Mark Briscoe and Hangman. Chuck is on the money. All right, folks. I apologize. I'm trying to catch up here. I'm almost there. Probably going to be on for another 20 minutes or so. So if I've missed it, feel free to resend your question. All right, there's some Dwayne Chow. Babyface Rock wouldn't be the same as what we're getting. Absolutely not. Yeah, it's worth. We had to suffer. The Cody loss had to happen for us to get heel Dwayne. Is what it is. It's wild that all of AEW's men's champs are over 40 right now. Outside of Garcia and Okada, who's a young guy that's going to beat one of the older guys for a title next? You assume Swerve over Joe, right? Swerve's in his 30s and he's like a 15-year pro, but still, you'd assume. Fuck! I lost my chat placement. I'm back. All right. Yeah, Swerve's one. But otherwise, Cope's going to win from Christian. So that one's there. You've mentioned Okada. It's definitely interesting. I think it's very important. You know, you got to base it on the talent involved. But it is definitely, when I look at wrestling right now, maybe this is a me thing, folks. Well, I'm honest with myself. When I look at wrestling, the guys I really enjoy, and if I was to build a fantasy roster, the guys that I would pick for my roster, there's a lot of old fucks right now. I mean, I got to be honest. And that's fine. But there's a lot of older gentlemen that I seem to be leading the way. And I think that's reflected by some of the belts. I mean, there was a great moment a couple of weeks ago where Roman was in a fatal four-way, and he was the youngest guy in it. And Roman Reigns has been on the main roster for, what, 11 years, 10 years? So, yeah, I think other than the names you mentioned plus Swerve, I think it's going to be a trend we see for a while. I just, fair or unfair, that seems to be the way we're at right now, to me anyway. I'm sure people disagree. Obviously, it depends on what you like in wrestling, right? Roman and Big Show does rock, yeah. We covered that, I'm pretty sure. Did we or did we not? Actually, I'm not sure we did. When we did the Big Show Grin Grappler, we did... Let me quickly do this, folks. Speaking of Grin Grappler, we announced on our Twitter today, I should say, that the lineup for Grin Grappler Kurt Hennig is locked in for March 26th. So go check that out at Late Night Grin. That show should be awesome. Hennig's someone I've changed my mind on at times. You know, I think great to watch. I think sometimes his legacy gets a touch overstated. So the Grin Grappler may be slightly different as a result. We will see. We did not cover this match. So the whole thing was a waste of time. We covered instead the Mark Henry match and the Sheamus match, which is fuck. If anyone's not seen Big Show vs. Sheamus from 2012, must watch. It's awesome. Here's a good answer for the question that I didn't answer. Roddy and Hangman's a good answer. FTR Lucha Bros, I need to rewatch those because I don't really remember them. I remember there being a lot of conversation about them. They may just be a stylistic issue, I think. But I do get you, Chuck, that gimmick match may help. Favorite Alexa Bliss match? Long list. I'm trying to think if there's actually like one that's like genuinely, if I wasn't being a dick, I would say is... Because I like Alexa Bliss, but I don't think she would ever suggest that she has a lot of great professional wrestling matches on her catalog. Cage match, I'm back. What do you got for me? Here we go. Let's line this up. We covered the Mickey James match on Grin Grappler, which was very funny because I declared it to be a handwork match. Not a handwork match. She works her arm the whole time, but what are you going to do? Right. This is the actual correct answer. The cage match agrees with me on this. 7.26. No, that's the wrong match. Never mind. Where is it? This is the one. It is November 5th, 2022. It is the Real World Tag League stars Alexa Bliss and Asuka against Dakota Kai and Io Sky. This is the Saudi Arabia show in which this match got 3.75 from Dave. And kind of out of nowhere was like, not just good, but it was like the Alexa Bliss match for some reason. So that one definitely would be the first pick. The TV, the title change one is okay, good, I guess. There's not many singles matches here, folks, on the cage match. Let me pull up here. The highest rated one is Nikki Cross. I don't even remember that. So one for the Jay Bing Bong match reviews. Great Balls of Fire with Sasha is good. With Mercedes is good. There's some decent matches here. The Io Sky match, Monty and I got 3 weeks of content out of. There's a handful. There's one with Becky in late 2016 that's pretty good. She had a lot of matches that were like, floor was here, ceiling was here. Like, there were a lot of matches that were just, you know, 2.75, 3.25, that range. Fun times. Speaking of Alexa, what a tangent this has become. What do you think she does when she returns? I wonder if she has fewer matches and becomes more of a brand ambassador. I have no clue. There's been some chatter that she's like fired up about this comeback run, which is very funny when compared to her her mood previously, which was glorious, as she looked completely uninterested. So I think the most likely thing is she slotted into another tag team, honestly. That seems to be the best use of what she can still do in ring. I definitely don't think she's going to be a full-time wrestler for much longer, but she may be, I don't know. I think she'll still be full-time for like maybe a year or two more, would be my guess. Probably in some other tag team. What's your opinion on Sting and Angle from Bound for Glory 2007? We did cover that on Grin Grappler, definitely. Very fun match, kind of Clash of the Titans vibe. Hilarious Kurt Angle performance in which he goes like 150 miles an hour and Sting can barely keep up at times. But it's very, very fun. The finish is hilarious, obviously, but it is a very fun match. What's the sweet spot for the big WrestleMania tag match? I think 30 might be a bit long, but they might go for it. Fully expecting Roman and Cody to go 35 plus. Yeah, I agree on Roman and Cody. I think bell to bell, I think the tag match will be fine at 20 because it's going to have so much. The entrance is going to go on forever and ever. So, yeah, I don't know how... I don't know how that match is wrestled. From the more I think about it, Dwayne is a heel tag team participant. It's fascinating. Can't wait to see. Poor Nicola. We wish Nikki Crosswell. We do not know where she currently is. She may be on Raw, but I haven't seen her be on Raw. Yeah, probably. Triple threat tags, brother. KO Logan, Randy, who wins? If Logan wins, will they do the LA Knight match? I think Logan wins and LA Knight wins the belt, yeah. Joe, why does Montgomery say Scott D'Amore like he's saying Donald J. Trump? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Can someone in the chat explain? It sounds very funny. I would like to understand. Maybe I'd give you an answer. I don't know. yeah, it's tough, man. We're into the old folks right now. Is Sheamus 2012 Paul's best match? Yes, Paul White, that is, folks, for anyone who's confused. We did just jump from Alexa Bliss to Montgomery to the big show, Paul White. So. All right. We're almost there. Alexa to AEW, that'd be funny. The All Elite graphic would be fucking hilarious to look at. Alexa and Nikki versus Asuka and Kairi from the Empty Basement Mania was good. They opened too, right? Okay, so apparently he says Scott D'Amore. Oh, now I understand. Okay, now it makes sense. I have no clue. I've never noticed him doing that, which is very funny because I'm the one actively on the shows, but... Next time he does this, I'll be alerted to it and we'll discuss it live on the air as to why he's doing it like it's an initial. I understand what you mean. Bonga, what match would it take to actually get you on the flight across the pond for an all elite professional wrestling man? I don't know, man. I was very excited and tempted about Dynasty, but I don't think I can make it happen. Probably something perverse with FTR, right? I'm not sure the FTR are going to be working in the UK for the foreseeable future. I'll leave that there. But so yeah, probably same with them. That's like, I want to make the trip and see it. But it's tough. I've been very, very lucky to see like almost every cool wrestler. So it's not saying that there's not a lot of names that come to my mind or matches that come to my mind. Like I've been very, very fortunate in that regard. It's more a case of hopefully it makes sense and I can actually do it without, you know, bankrupting myself, because I must say I loved being in Chicago. So it was really cool. I mean, obviously the grinners and such was wonderful, but there was a bunch of people in the media space that I met that was like, it was really cool. It was nice. So I do want to make another trip at some juncture. The $25 JJ would be very appreciated, but Dynasty is like, again, it can't happen, but it was very tempting, I must say. All right, folks, we're winding down here. We've got a few more minutes. Please, if you have any remaining questions, anything I missed, throw it in the live chat. While we wait, I'm going to do some plugs. This Thursday, This Thursday, the thing that used to be the flagship that is now the Dynamite Review Show. I assume with myself, Chuck, and AO, it may change. I don't know, but I think there's going to be the lineup moving forward with myself at the in the hot seat hosting. So we appreciate the support on that front. Please do join us again this week. But of course, you know where I'm going. This Friday, LNG 100. It'll be on the LNG YouTube channel or twitch.tv/latenightgrin. It's going to be eventful, folks. As I said, there's a surprise, a major announcement. There's going to be some old faces, some new faces. It'll be very, very cool, I think. So that's what's on the horizon. On the written front, I did just do a review of Gunther and AJ Styles from a house show in December 2022. They had two matches. It was a single loop, and the second of which of those matches made tape and is up on the YouTube. So I'm, you know, that's up there on what is that website? What is it, Joey? What's the actual URL? I should probably know this. joeybingbong.wordpress.com. joeybingbong.wordpress.com. At some point, there's going to be a Joe AJ review. There's a list, actually. Let me quickly pull this up. Is this everything? There's a Flair Sting match from Saturday night in 93 that, like, I haven't seen in ages. And someone told me is the best Flair Sting match, so I'm going to review that. And after this conversation, I should do one of these. I should do Nikki Cross versus Alexa Bliss, because I have no memory of them having a singles match. This match has a 6.42 on Cage Match. Someone gave it an 8, which is... which has popped me huge. So that might be something I actually review. Otherwise, stay tuned at the Joe Holbert on Twitter. Not the, it's just at Joe Holbert. All right, there's a question here. Unrelated, but Ray Gunther for the IC title is going to get lost to time on a taped SmackDown. I just want to spread awareness back. Great match. Yeah, they had a killer match. That was the one that made Manny a WWE fan overnight. So shows you how good it was, right? All right. Joe, in your opinion, do Roman and Rock do the Samoan double head spot? They should, I hadn't thought about it before. They definitely should do that, yeah. Or like Seth should try and headbutt Dwayne. He should no-sell it like he's fucking Meng or someone, you know? Good call. I like it. All right. Speaking of Meng, I just found out he was supposed to wrestle Big Van Vader at Havoc 95, and I've been devastated by it ever since. Just brutal. Brutal turn of fortune. Okay, folks. I appreciate you all. This has been very, very fun. Here is a picture. Myself, Dwayne Johnson. Very unsettling picture. And maybe there'll be another house show this week. Maybe not. Time will tell. Everyone enjoy the big business tomorrow. Enjoy NXT tonight. Whatever it is we're wrestling, you're tuning into, whether you're watching some Nick Bockwinkel, whether you're watching Alexa Bliss versus Kairi Sane, whatever the fuck it is you're watching, enjoy the graps. Terramana forever. And as always, thanks for the house, folks. I appreciate it. Have a good night, everyone.